Hi. Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's funny. Lee told that story. I remember that. I think that was Michael's second deployment to Iraq, and he waited 10 months before he took his R&R leave so he could come home for the festival. Just get some chicken on a stick and a funnel cake, right? Taylor actually did the same thing. He stayed in Afghanistan about 8 months and waited to come home for the festival. It's kind of funny. So, yeah, between myself and our two boys, we have 9 deployments and counting. I mean, I'm retired now, but I had my own share. So, needless to say, tomorrow being Memorial Day, it's has a different place in mine and my family's heart. After we've been at war for over 16 years now, and so between me and the boys, we have a list of people that we'll be remembering tomorrow, people that we knew personally. And so, I know that this weekend is typically heralded as the beginning of summer, and there's cookouts and camping. There's a lot of people out today, and there'll be cookouts and boating and camping and mattress sales, you know, but there will. You can go buy some mattresses tomorrow on sale. And that's fine. You know, that's fine. Those are the things that people serve and are willing to give their life so that we can do those kind of things. But I just ask this, that whatever you do tomorrow, don't forget what the day is for. It's a day that is set aside to honor and remember those that have given their life in service to our country. So whatever you do tomorrow, just take a moment of silence and remember those that gave their life. But not to mourn their death, but to be grateful that such men and women lived and were willing to serve. Okay. Memorial Day. One other thing I want to mention. Do we have it up there? Can we put that spiritual gifts graphic up there, Laura? Can we do that? No? All right, we're standing by. Anyway, I'll go ahead. So, okay, there it is. So next, Jim announced this a couple of weeks ago, but I want to go ahead and mention it again. So next Sunday night at 6 o'clock right here, we're going to begin a series, a 12-week series about spiritual gifts, and it's going to cover 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. I'm not teaching it. I'm just going to host it, and there's some printed material that goes along with it. So if you plan on coming, I would ask that you sign up out in the lobby. There's a sign-up sheet out there. We want to make sure that we have enough materials. And here's the reason we're doing this, right? We're here at North Point, we're a blended family. We're a blended family, and we come from a lot of different denominational backgrounds. We've got everybody here from Pentecostals to Presbyterians and Charismatic to Catholics. We got Baptists, Methodists, Nazarene, and everything in between, right? So we all have a different outlook on spiritual gifts. And so some of us came from a denomination that when it came to spiritual gifts, it was not at all. And some of us came from a denomination where it was a free-for-all. And neither one of those are in balance with what the Scripture says. You see, we here at North Point, we don't want our theology to be dictated by a denomination. We want our theology to be dictated by what the Bible says. Amen? Because listen to me, truth is not what someone says the Scriptures say, it's what the Scriptures say. All right, so maybe your small group is taking a break for the summer, so this might be something good for you to come to. Maybe your small group is still meeting. Bring them all with you, all right? Just make sure you sign up in the lobby so we got enough printed material. But I want to reemphasize what Jim said a couple weeks ago when he first announced this. This is not a time for debate or discussion. It's a time for us to sit back and just learn what the Bible actually says. Amen? All right, so please come to that if you can. It's a very good series on 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. If you can't make it to all of them, it's okay. You can watch it online, and I'll provide that for you. Did y'all have a good week? Y'all have a good week? I had a really long, difficult week. A really, really long, difficult week. I worked in 3 states last week. I'm going to work in 3 different states this week. Planes, trains, and automobiles for me. I had 3 flights. 2 of them were delayed. Had some long days and some late nights. I woke up Tuesday morning with a sore throat. Wednesday, I was tired. I was feeling sorry for myself. I started complaining. And who do you complain to? I'm texting my wife. I'm texting Missy, and I'm complaining. Then Thursday morning, I got up a little bit early, and I was preparing for the day, and I got convicted by my own sermon. Funny how that works, right? Funny how that works. But I have to tell you, I'm absolutely honored and humbled to stand before you again today. And I know I say that every time, but I don't say that lightly. I do not say that lightly because I have the absolute utmost admiration and respect for our pastor and our elders. I do. Because you see, if it wasn't for any of them, none of this and none of us would be here today. Amen. None of us would be here today. 20 years ago, God dropped something in the heart of Jim Pinkard, and he listened and he obeyed. And some other people came alongside of him, and they believed that he had heard from God, and they believed in him. And because of that, because of the obedience of one man, God has used this church to change countless hundreds of lives. Y'all believe that? Over here at the Impact Center, we're changing lives. We feed over 1,000 families a month out of there. 1,000 families. Y'all know this is a small town, right? We feed over 1,000 families a month out of there. Y'all may not know it. You may have never been there. We have a full-blown hair salon in there. People can come in there and get a free haircut. You know what that does for somebody's dignity? It helps restore their dignity. We have now expanded it to offer counseling services there with professional counseling. Listen, God is using this church to change lives through Celebrate Recovery, through Awanas, through Upwards Basketball. We're changing lives in Liberia and Lebanon and Afghanistan and in India. Amen. God is using this church to change lives, and I can tell you, God has used this church to change my life. Amen. And I hope you let him use this church to change your life. So let's pray real quick. Father God, I just bless your name, Lord, and I praise you, God, and I thank you for your overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love, God. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're a way maker, God, and you're a miracle worker. And God, I thank you for this place, Lord. I thank you for these people, God. I thank you what you're doing in our church, God. I thank you what you're doing from our church and through our church, Lord. And God, I just ask your blessing upon this time, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill me, God, and that you would move me to the side and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my hearts be acceptable in your sight this morning. And God, whatever's accomplished here today, we'll thank you and praise you for it all. For it's in the strong, holy name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Y'all have to excuse me. I'm still holding on to that cold a little bit, so forgive me. I might have to turn this mic off and blow my nose. I don't want to blow the speakers out. As we get started today, I've got a question for you, and here's my question. Do you ever feel overwhelmed? Man, I was feeling overwhelmed this week. I was. Do you ever feel overwhelmed? It's that feeling that there's more coming at you than you can possibly handle. That feeling that there's more coming at you than you think you can bear. Now, we got a lot of new babies around here, right? A lot of new babies at North Point. I don't know. Did the cable go out or something a few months ago? I don't know what happened. I don't know how that happens, right? And those of us that have children that are grown now, and, you know, you look into the eyes of those parents with new babies, and you can see that look. There's a certain look they have. There's a look of wonderment in their eye, right? If you look a little past that, you might see some sleep deprivation, right? You look a little past that, and you might see that feeling of maybe I'm a little overwhelmed. I'm not sure what I know what I'm doing, right? They let us take it home. It cries a lot. It's always hungry. It never sleeps. And how in the world does that much stuff come out of something so small? I don't know. It's a little overwhelming, right? I don't know if I can handle it. Maybe for you it's time, T-I-M-E. Time. That's a big one for me. I'm overwhelmed by time. There's just not enough time to get everything done, right? Here's what it might look like for you. You get up in the morning just barely on time, right? You get some kind of food in the belly of your kids. You get them off to school. You rush to work. You somehow make it to work on time. You do two people's jobs for one people pay, right? You get off work. You rush home. You get your three kids. You put them in the car. You take the first kid to piano lessons, all right? You got 5 minutes to make a 10-minute drive to get the second kid to baseball practice. You drop him off at baseball practice, and you think, I've got a little bit of time, and I'm really tired of eating Taco Bell, Zaxby's, and Wendy's, so I'm going to run up to the Chick-fil-A in Calhoun, right? So you get there, and you put kid number three in the play place because you can get a moment's peace, right, while you're standing in line. You pick up dinner, you retrace your steps, you pick up the two kids, you get home, you're feeling pretty good about yourself, only to realize that you left kid number three in the play place at Chick-fil-A. Right? We've either done it or we've come close to doing it, right? There's just not enough time. We feel overwhelmed. It's too much. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your finances. It's that feeling in your stomach as you walk to the mailbox because there's already been more month than money. And it's that feeling of dread of what's waiting on me when I open up this envelope. What bill is there that I don't have the money to pay? It's overwhelming. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your marriage. You're going, you know what? A loving, caring relationship sounds awesome, but to be honest, I would just settle for civility. Like, could we just not argue for one day? It's too much. I'm feeling overwhelmed. Maybe it's comparison. Man, what has social media done for that? Right? Comparison. You're surfing Instagram and you see your best friend, right? And she's just posted this picture of this wonderful meal that she made, and she's got the perfect apron on, and she looks like June Cleaver, and the meal is from scratch, and it's gluten-free, non-dairy, no dyeing. It looks like it's just Pinterest perfect, right? And yours never looks like that. And you're looking at, and meanwhile, for the third time this night, you're eating Frosted Flakes for supper, right? It's too much. It's overwhelming. I can't compare, right? And some of you are saying, well, I didn't feel overwhelmed before, not till I got here. Welcome to North Point. We're glad you're here. Here's the point, though. We all feel overwhelmed at some point or another. So here's what I want to do today. I want to look at God's Word because I think that it has something to say to us when we feel overwhelmed. And it's talking about 10 men who understood what it was like to feel overwhelmed. We're going to pick up in Luke 16, beginning in verse 11. And here's what it says. It says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered the village there, 10 men with leprosy. Now, that's an important point, so don't miss that. Hang on to that one. 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out to Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So we're introduced in this story to 10 men who, if anybody understood what it was like to feel overwhelmed, it's these 10 men. Because they were being overwhelmed every single day in every part of their life. They were being overwhelmed physically. They had leprosy. Now, leprosy is an infection that doesn't show up in symptoms for 5 to 10 years after you're infected. And once it does, it attacks your nervous system and you begin to lose feeling in your extremities. Then those extremities become deformed and they swell, your nose, your eyebrows, your ears, your feet, your fingers. Then those extremities begin to die and decompose while they're still attached to your body. They're smelly, they're rotten, and then they start to fall off only to be followed by death because at this time in history, there was no cure for these men. They were being overwhelmed every single day physically. They were being overwhelmed relationally because there was no cure. All they could do in Jesus' day and time was remove them from society, remove them from the community, put them outside of town so that they can no longer touch the face of their wife anymore. They can no longer hug their children. They were separated from everybody that they cared about. Relationally, they were being overwhelmed. They were being overwhelmed financially. They couldn't work, so they had to beg. They're being overwhelmed spiritually because they couldn't go to church to worship God alongside their friends and family anymore because they were unclean. If anybody understood what it was like to feel overwhelmed, it was these 10 men. But catch this. With everything going wrong in their life, they had one thing going right. They had one thing going right. They were in the best place they could possibly be. They were in the best place they could possibly be because they were in the presence of Jesus. Amen? So what do we do when we're feeling overwhelmed? Listen, it's all about choices. And the first choice we make is this. We choose to be in the best place. We choose to be in the best place because why? Because it is impossible to live right in the wrong place. Amen? So we're going to choose the best place. For those of you that might be feeling overwhelmed today, maybe it's your health, maybe it's your job, maybe it's your kids, you don't know what to do with them. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. The best advice that I can give you this morning is to participate in church regularly. What am I saying? I'm saying choose the best place. Participate in church. Now that word participate, I didn't say attend. I didn't say just show up. I said participate, because that word participate is a purposeful word, because when we go to church, it's not a passive activity. It is an active pursuit, because we come to church to actively worship God. We come to church and it begins to change who we are at our very core. We come to church to serve others. We come to church to be in transformational relationships with others, and it begins to change who we are at our core. What do we do when we're feeling overwhelmed? We choose the best place. We gather together with other believers. We participate in church regularly. But sometimes, here's what happens. Sometimes what happens is this. Sometimes we wait until life gets really, really tough to choose to be in the best place, right? To choose to be in church. And yet, here's the good news today. If this is the first time you've ever walked in a church, or you've been coming here for 20 years, right? It doesn't matter. You're in the best place that you could possibly be today, even if this is your first time. So you're doing it. Check the box, all right? Listen, Hebrews 10:25 says this to us, the church. It says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. Now, what that tells us is church attendance is not a modern issue. Paul wrote about this way back then, right? It says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. Come to church where you can be encouraged, where God can begin to transform who you are. What do we do when we're feeling overwhelmed? We choose the best place. See, those 10, with everything going wrong in their life, they had one thing going right. They were in the best place that they could possibly be. And here's what happened next. Here's what happened next. In verse 14, it says this. It says, he looked at them. So Jesus looked at these men. He looked at them and he said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, don't miss that. He says, go show yourself to the priest. So what did Jesus do? He said, go to church. He said, go to church. Listen to me. Don't ever underestimate what God can do when you gather together with other believers regularly. Amen? He says, go to church. Next it says, as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Now, it's at this point that I'm reminded that I'm not Jesus, and I know y'all are probably pretty clear on that fact too, but here's the deal, right? If that was me, if I was going to perform this miracle, I would have done it differently than Jesus did. Here's what it would have looked like. I would have looked at these 10 men crying out for help on the edge of town. I would have looked at the disciples and said, hey, I want you to go into town. I want you to go in the village. I want you to get everybody and bring them out here, and we're going to put these 10 men in the middle, and we're going to circle everybody else around them, and I'm going to lay hands on them, and I'm going to heal them, and boom, it's going to be spectacular. It's going to be extraordinary, all right? It's going to be extraordinary. It's going to be immediate. But that's not what Jesus does. Instead, he says, go show yourself to the priest. And it says, as they went, they were healed. Literally, what did they do? They walked. They started putting one foot in front of the other. And as they did the most ordinary thing that they could possibly do, God brought healing into their lives. You see, when I pray for healing in my own life, what I often pray for is the extraordinary, the miraculous. And yet what I've often experienced as a follower of Christ is this, is that God sometimes brings healing into our life through the extraordinary, and it is miraculous. And yet sometimes God will choose to bring healing into our life through the ordinary, and it's just as miraculous. It is just as miraculous. Here's what it might look like for you. You say, God, I'm feeling overwhelmed in my marriage. I don't know if I can do it any longer. But yet, you make the choice that as you go, you're going to take one step after another. And I'm going to get up today, and I'm going to make the choice, and I'm going to die to myself, and I'm going to put the needs of my wife before mine, and I'm going to serve her like Christ served the church. And then I'm going to get up the next day, and I'm going to do it again. And regardless of how she responds, I'm going to get up the next day, and I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to get up the next day, and I'm going to do it again. And here's what's going to happen. One day you're going to look back and you're going to see that as you went, as you put one foot in front of the other, doing the most ordinary thing that you could do, that God has brought healing into your life, and it's just as miraculous as if it was extraordinary. It says, as they went, they were healed. What do we do when we're feeling overwhelmed? We choose the best place. We choose the best place. Number two, we choose the best perspective. Listen, here's what's crazy about this story. The miracle itself is not the high point of the story. The miracle that Jesus performed as they went, they were healed of their leprosy. They were cleansed of their leprosy. That's not the high point of the story. The high point of the story is the response to the miracle. Here's what it says in verse 15. It says, one of them. Remember how many were there? There were 10, right? There were 10. It says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He recognized that his healing came from God. He shouts, praise God, and then he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done, for this man was a Samaritan. Now, what does that mean? What is a Samaritan? It means that he's half Jewish and half non-Jewish. So what that tells us is that he was the least likely of all 10 of those men to recognize the work of God in his life. Yet he was the one that returned to praise God and give thanks. And when I read this story, I've got questions, right? And maybe you got some questions, and Jesus has questions. Because in verse 17, here's what he says. It says that Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? It's the same question I got, right? Where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner, except for this least likely out of all of them? And yet Jesus said to the man, stand up and go, for your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. For your faith literally has saved you. You see, this guy, he had already experienced physical healing, but now he experienced whole life spiritual healing. But I still got questions, right? The same question that Jesus did. Where's the other nine? Where are the other nine? Why did one man return and nine not when they experienced the exact same thing? Right? Because I read this story over and over and over and over, and what I saw is that they all had the same identical experience. They all had leprosy. They were all outside of town. They all cried out to Jesus for mercy. They were all sent to the priest. They were all healed as they went. They all had the exact same experience, but only one out of 10 came back to Jesus. Why is that? Why is that? Because apparently two people can look at the same thing and see something completely different. It's a matter of perspective. Two people can look at something completely different. Look at the same thing and see something completely different, right? You see, when the nine looked, what they saw was that they were healed. What they looked and they saw that our cries for mercy have been heard. But when the one looked, he saw that it was Jesus that heard his cries for mercy. What the nine saw was that we've been healed. What the one saw was that Jesus has healed me. What the nine saw was that they had been given exactly what they asked for. But what the one saw was that Jesus had given him more than he could ever deserve. What the nine saw was that they had been restored to their old life. But what the one saw was that Jesus had given him a new life much better than his old life. How can two people look at the same thing and see something completely different? It's a matter of perspective, isn't it? It's a matter of perspective. So what do we do when we're feeling overwhelmed? We choose the best perspective. Because listen, where you sit determines what you see. Where you sit determines what you see. And when you sit at the foot of the cross, you can't help but see Jesus at work in your world. Where you sit determines what you see. When we feel overwhelmed, we choose the best perspective. Now, maybe you know some people in your life, some godly people. and they're in a situation or a circumstance that the world looks at and says, that's just terrible. But for these kind of people I'm talking about, it doesn't matter what their situation or circumstances are. They have the best perspective, and they see God at work in places they've never seen him work in the midst of their circumstances and situation. And they have this joy that only comes from God. And they have this perspective of, if this is God's will for my life, there's no other place I'd rather be. How does somebody say that in spite of their circumstances? How does somebody look at something that the rest of the world looks at and goes, that's a curse, but they say there's no place I'd rather be? It's because they've chosen the best perspective. It's because they understand that where you sit determines what you see, and when you sit at the foot of the cross, you can't help but see God at work in the midst of your circumstances. What do we do when we're feeling overwhelmed? We choose the best perspective, which is the perspective that has Jesus Christ at the center of our world. Here's what that perspective looks like in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We choose the best perspective, which is the perspective of God. Here's a prayer that I've been trying to pray lately. I say, God, give me your eyes. God, give me your eyes so that I can see what you see. God, give me your ears so that I can hear what you hear. God, give me your mouth so that I can speak what you speak. God, give me your mind so that I can think what you think. God, give me your heart so that I can feel what you feel. What am I praying for? I'm praying, God, give me the best perspective. Because listen, having the best perspective may not change your circumstances, but it'll change what you see in your circumstances. Amen? What do we do when we're feeling overwhelmed? We choose the best place. We choose the best perspective. Third, we're going to choose the best priorities. Listen, where you sit may determine what you see, but what you see will determine who you will be. Your perspective will determine the priorities that you live out in your life. Now, as a follower of Christ, I understand pretty clearly what my priorities are called to be, that I'm going to love and serve God first and foremost in my life. After that, I'm going to love and serve my wife like Christ loved the church. After that, I'm going to love and serve the gift that God has given me in my family, our sons, our daughters-in-law, our grandchildren, my extended family. After that, I'm going to love and serve the people he's put around me, all the others, right? And last, I'm going to love and serve myself last because he loves me. It's pretty clear what our priorities ought to be, that God is first and foremost. And yet too often as a follower of Christ, I have these kind of thoughts, I have these kind of questions, and I say, well, if I had more time, right? If I had more time, then I would start my day in God's Word. If I had more time, I would start my day praying. If I had more time, but life is crazy, right? If my schedule wasn't so crazy, then I'd be in church every single week. But you know, little Johnny just loves baseball. I mean, his eyes just light up. He loves baseball. Maybe when baseball season's over, then we'll be in church. Or if I had more money, then maybe I would put God first in my financial life. When we say those things, what we have is not a time problem. What we have is not a financial problem. What we have is not an opportunity problem. What we have is a priority problem. Look at Joshua 24. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Joshua stands before the people of Israel, the chosen people of God, and he says, choose this day. Choose this day who you're going to serve. Because, see, Joshua understood something. Every single day when we wake up, we make a choice. What is the first and foremost priority in my life? And that's what we're going to serve. And so he says, choose this day who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord our God. What does it look like when God is first and foremost priority in my life? Here's what it might look like for me and for you, right? It means that I'm going to start my week in church. But listen to me. I don't come to church in order to win God's love. I come to church because he's already won my love. Amen? So I'm going to start my week in church. I'm going to start my day in God's Word because I know that the more time I spend with Christ, the more I become like Christ. So I'm going to start my day in God's Word. I'm going to start my prayers with thanksgiving because thanking God through expressed gratitude may be the purest measure of my own spiritual condition. So I'm going to start my prayers with thankfulness. I'm going to start my pay period with a tithe because I have learned a long time ago that 90% with God is way better than 100% without God. So I'm going to start my pay period with a tithe. Now, some of you are hearing this and you're going, you know what, Jeff, you got a little fire about you on this. And you're right. You're right, I do. And here's why. Because there have been times in my life when I have not chosen the best place to be. There's been times in my life where my perspective had not been Christ-centered. And my priorities have not been Jesus Christ first in my life. But listen, as I emptied myself and I got all those things in order again, and I emptied myself and I opened my heart to God again, and I made room for Him again, He filled that emptiness in more ways than I could ever imagine. More ways than I could ever imagine. And I started this message with a question, and the question was this: do you ever feel overwhelmed? Do you ever feel like there's more coming at you than you can handle? Now, we all have that feeling because of our circumstances at some point, but my prayer for you is this today. My prayer is that this message does not keep you from feeling overwhelmed. My prayer for you is that it will not keep you from feeling overwhelmed, but that you might feel even more overwhelmed. But here's what I mean. Not overwhelmed like the nine who saw their circumstances around them, but overwhelmed like the one who saw God at work in his life and returned to thank God. Not overwhelmed by the things of this world, but overwhelmed by the goodness of God at work in your life. Not overwhelmed realizing that God has given us what we asked for, but overwhelmed realizing that God has given every single one of us more than we could ever deserve. My prayer for you is this: that you might feel overwhelmed, because the reality is, every single one of us is like those lepers. At some point, we're separated from God, not by the disease we carry, but by the sin that we've committed. And we're separated from God, and we cried out to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." And at some point, Jesus looked to you. He heard your cries, and He brought healing and mercy and forgiveness far more than we could ever deserve. And here's what I know. Here's what I know. That when we choose to start in the best place, when we choose the best perspective, when we put Jesus at the center of our world, and when we choose the best priorities and make God first where He deserves to be, then we will wake up every single day feeling overwhelmed by Him. There'll be more than you think that you can even handle, but you're being overwhelmed by His goodness. You're being overwhelmed by His grace. You're being overwhelmed by His power. You're being overwhelmed by His mercy. You're being overwhelmed by His unconditional love. And that, as a follower of Christ, is the only way I want to live. That's the only way I want to live. And I'm closing it. Lee, if y'all want to come on. Now listen, I know that some of you walked in here today and you're probably feeling a little overwhelmed. You're feeling overwhelmed by the circumstances of your life, and yet if you're a follower of Christ, that's not the way God wants you to live. He wants you to be overwhelmed, but He wants you to be overwhelmed by His goodness and by His grace and His mercy and His love. And if that's you and you're feeling overwhelmed by your circumstances, but you want to be overwhelmed by God, as I'm going to pray in a minute, and we're going to sing, and I would invite you to come and give it all to Him, right? And listen, church, don't let anybody pray alone, okay? Nobody should pray alone in church. Somebody will come pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you heard that second and that third point, you know, about making Jesus Christ the center of your life, and you're not really sure that you've actually done that, right? Maybe you know who He is, but you don't know Him personally, right? So the Bible tells us that we're separated from God by our own sin, by the fact that I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, but God was not okay with that reality of us being separated from Him, and so He acted, and here's how He acted towards you and towards me. He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to live a perfect life, to go to the cross, not for His sins, but for my sins and for your sins. So that anyone, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how far removed you feel from God, you can look to Him and say, God, I'm ready to receive your grace and the forgiveness that you offer me through Jesus Christ. If that's you today, right, I'm gonna pray, we're gonna sing, and I would invite you to come ask Christ into your heart today. All right, somebody will come pray with you too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much that you care for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us make the right choices. Lord, help us to choose the best place, the best perspective, and the best priorities. And Lord, I pray for each of us that we would feel overwhelmed every single day, not by the things of the world, but we would be overwhelmed by you. It's in the strong, holy name of Jesus I pray. Amen and amen. 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 Thank y'all for singing that twice. I have been hung up on that song for about a month. This is no lie. I'm not exaggerating. I sat in the Atlanta airport at 5:30 on a Monday morning, listening to this song, ugly crying, squalling like a baby. Man, I love that song. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. There's no mountain he won't climb up, no wall he won't kick down, coming after me, coming after me. Thank y'all so much for being here. God bless you. I hope you have a great weekend. Father God, we just praise you, Lord. We bless your name, God. God, I thank you for this place, Lord. I pray your blessing on us, God, as we go and do the things that we do this weekend, Father, as we celebrate and we gather together, God. And God, help us not to forget those who laid down their lives for us. God, I just thank you and I praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.